spend just the final couple of days on Hashgacha Pratis. Hashgacha Pratis on non-humans. So it seems that the Rishonim, in general, pretty much unanimously, did not accept that there was Hashgacha Pratis on non-humans. Rambam says so explicitly. Other Rishonim say that explicitly, that on fish and bugs and other things, even larger animals, mammals, I think, there is no Hashgacha Pratis. Chassidim generally believe that there is Hashgacha Pratis on everything, and it's remarkable that the Chassidim often explicitly concede that this was a chiddush that was taught to us by the Baal Shem Tov, and that they basically say that many, most, all Rishonim did not accept this. Baal Shem Tov revealed to us a great new theological idea, heretofore unknown, that God is Mashgiach with individual providence, even on non-humans, what they call Domim Tzomeach Chai Medaber, Dalad Tzadi Ches Mem. I saw a kuntris on Hashgacha Pratis from the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the Likutei Sichos, where he spends some time on this, basically grappling with the fact, discussing the fact that the Rishonim generally did not believe in Hashgacha Pratis on non-humans, and the Baal Shem Tov and the Gedolei Hasidus did. There's a famous story about this, immortalized in song by Yontif Erlich, for those who know his work, but there's a famous story about this, how an old Hasidic tale where a chassid is walking with his Rebbe. I'm probably not getting all the details exactly right, but a chassid is walking with the Rebbe and they see a leaf blow off a tree and tumble to the ground. So the chassid challenges the Rebbe. You say, everything is Hashgacha Pratis. Tell me, what was the significance of this leaf blowing off the tree? So the Rebbe tells him this tale about there was a poor ant or worm that was crawling and trudging its way industriously across in the hot sun, and it was quite hot and tired, and Hashem had compassion on the poor little ant, and so he blew the leaf off the tree, caused the wind to, the whole kind of house that Jack built, he caused the wind to shake the tree, to knock the leaf off, to land on the poor little ant and give it shade. And sure enough, I think they lifted up the leaf, and they saw that there was a exhausted but very relieved looking ant that was being shaded from the sun. So in general, this is, I think, this is just one particular story, but it illustrates, I think, what is an important Hasidic doctrine, but it is not pretty much one that has much, not one that really appears in the Divrei HaRishon. One or two other points in Hashgacha Pratis. As we mentioned several times already, it's a difficult topic because of all the contradictions and unclear statements and difficult implications of different sources. We should mention that there are a number of statements in Chazal that speak pretty unequivocally, that seem to speak pretty clearly toward the idea of universal Hashgacha Pratis. One of them is, someone pointed out to me, one of them is the idea that Chazal say, Ein adam nokef etzbo milmata, elam kei nigzer lav milmala. A person doesn't even injure his finger, doesn't even hurt his finger, a relatively minor type of injury, unless there was a decree about it in heaven. Again, Ein adam, certainly taking the words at face value, it sounds like there is no such thing. There is no such thing as ever suffering even a minor injury unless there is it's been decreed that way in heaven. How are the Rishonim, who apparently say that Hashgacha Pratis is variable and depends on the person's spiritual madrega, and people are often left to mikrim, and a lot is up to you, how are they going to explain that Chazal? I am not sure, but that's certainly a Chazal that should be considered in the context of these discussions. There is one very interesting doctrine that actually appears in some Kabbalistic thinkers that differentiate between Bale Bechira, in the sense of the perpetrator, versus ordinary natural events. The people often quote in Arachayim HaKadosh and Parshas Vayeshev, the brothers were contemplating killing Yosef, and they said, let's not kill him, let's throw him into a pit. The expectation was he would die in the pit. It wasn't lifetime incarceration there. So what do they think they were accomplishing by throwing him into a pit instead of cutting his throat or something like that? So the Arachayim says that insofar as a Baal Bechira takes action, there's no guarantee that that was the action that God had decreed, because a Baal Bechira, a person who has free will, a human, has the power to do things that were not nigzar from Shemayim. So Reuven was telling the brothers, if we kill him, we won't prove that he deserved to be killed, we won't prove that it was nigzar, we won't prove that his dreams were bogus, we chose to kill him, we alter the course of history, that proves nothing. Let's instead throw him into a bar where he'll die of natural causes, then we'll see. Benira Mayuchal Amosif. That will tell us whether his dreams were real or not, because the animals won't kill him if it was not Nigzer Min HaShemayim. Now, obviously, you can start asking subtle questions like, well, maybe throwing him into the pit is the action of a Baal Bechira. Apparently not. The final bite of the snake or the dying of thirst, that's considered natural causes. Well, if I take an axe and hit somebody with it, that's called human causes. But again, the Rechaim is not the only one. The Alshech, I think, who says the same thing. So these were actually Mekubalim. They had this doctrine that even to the extent that Hashgacha Pratis applies, there's an additional dimension of not Gzeira, which applies when we're dealing with the actions of a Baal Bechira.